When we are almost at the end, what does one say? Yom Kippur drawing to a close. Another year has gone by, another year of change. Another year where hopefully God has been at work in our lives, that we are not the same as we were a year ago. We've looked into our own souls, looked into our own spirits, to see that reflection that comes back towards us of who we really are. Who are we before God? We've confronted those inner realities of who we are. The complete reality, as we mentioned at Rosh Hashanah and Shabbat, the realities around us that yes, I have contributed to the mess that is humanity and the chaos that envelopes this world. We remember we touched upon the fact that the whole of creation groans under the weight of the sin of humanity. We have literally changed the fabric of this universe, and not in a good way. I did this. Something that was so beautiful, something that was so perfect that God had made. And I have helped towards the mess that it is in right now with relationships, situations, even the very fabric of the universe itself. My choices, my actions, my decisions send ripples out, impacting upon this life. But we're at the end of Yom Kippur, rapidly approaching upon us. You can see the light outside is beginning to darken. We're moving towards the conclusion of all things. If this was the only message that we had to consider on this day, it would indeed be a very depressing, downbeat view, a message. But praise God, in Messianic Judaism, that is not what we are left with. We are not left with, at the end of Yom Kippur, merely the thought, and there it goes, and here I go again. That is not Messianic Judaism, that is not what the scriptures teach. We have a God of hope, a God of change, a God who is able to not only rule and govern our lives in that way, but the God who is able to get involved with us and fundamentally change us and fundamentally change situations around us. We have the God of mercy to whom we look. And I want to just read you a section here from the second letter to the Jewish community in Corinth, which Rav Shaul wrote for us, understanding the fullness of the gravity of our situation and yet knowing the Jewish message did not end there. He says this, chapter 5. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to glory on our behalf, that you may have something to answer those who glory in appearance, but not in heart. If we are beside ourselves, if we are mad, it is for God. But if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Messiah constrains us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Messiah according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a renewed creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been renewed. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Yeshua Mashiachinu, and has given us, as Jews, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Messiah, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses and their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Messiah. As though God were pleading through us, we implore on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's a powerful passage. It's one that I think connects in some real powerful ways with what we were studying this afternoon. He says, we no longer glory in appearance. He says, there are those who glory in appearance and not in their hearts. Well, we were touching upon that this afternoon, weren't we, in Isaiah 58. For those who do exactly that, who bow their heads and walk around and woe is me and look disheveled because it's all a show, it's a pretense, it's what people put on. And Shaul looks at all of this and says, there are those who glory in appearance and not in the heart. He says, I want to give you things to answer these people, because it's not just the way things appear on the surface. We do not believe in hyacinth bouquet theology, the games of righteous one-upmanship that so many play. You know, when people come and say to you, oh, how frum are you? It's a game. It's not in their interest to know how frum you are. Who cares how frum you are in comparison to other people? On one level, I'm not bothered with that question. You know what really bothers me? The question, are you walking closely with the Lord? I'm not bothered how frum you are. And you can say the two are linked, of course they are. But I'm not going to go drilling down into your lives to see how frum you are. I want to know, are you walking closely with the Lord? The nuts and bolts you'll sort out with him, not with me. You'll sort that out with him. Are you walking closely with the Lord? And again I say, there are some who answer in your community, who speak in your community, who glory in appearance and not in heart. Shaul had those problems in his day, just as much as we have them in ours today. We glory in our hearts. We glory in the inner reality of what it means to walk with God and know him, to have a relationship with God. Imagine the King of the universe, so awesome we have no words to describe him in all of his glory. That God, we have a relationship with him. It's the most awesome thing in the universe. We don't go around pretending. We glory in what God has done in our hearts. Shaul's view again comes out in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, he says. I'm not interested in the games of spiritual one-upmanship you're playing. I regard no one according to the flesh. He's not looking at what people do, how well they do it, how frum they are, how observant of this, that, or the other. He says, I'm not looking now at people in the flesh. I regard no one in that way. Because the reality that is beyond this is so much more important. The reality is the fruit of the Spirit that comes out of this. We were talking about this, about fasting this afternoon. So we went through the notes there. The fruit of the Spirit in Isaiah 58, which comes again to feed those who are hungry, to clothe the naked, to put a roof over the heads of those who need it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God working in us, in our hearts. And therefore he says, I regard no man according to appearance of the flesh. I will look and what I see you do as you seek to worship God and to follow him in that relationship. Show me the fruit of the Spirit, not the games that we play with the spiritual one-upmanship of how frum we are or otherwise. Let me see the reality of the Ruach HaKodesh functioning, operating in your life. That is what I want to see, not the glory of the appearance of it all. If the fruit of the Spirit are not there, then it is fake. Because you can't fake the fruit of the Spirit. Someone truly knows the Lord, you will see in their lives the effect that the Spirit of God has had on them. And you will see the fruit of the Ruach HaKodesh, the fruit of the Spirit as described for us in Galatians and elsewhere. You will see the fruit of the Spirit active in their lives. If you do not see it, the Spirit of God is not active in that person's life. And the good news, in the midst of all of this for us also on this Yom Kippur, we judge thus, if one died for all, then all have died. And he died for all. Yeshua died for all. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. In the middle of all of this tragedy of our sins this day, we have good news. We have hope. We have something to sing about. We have something to dance about. Because one died for us. That we do not now have to sit here, still dead in our sins, just hoping that God will somehow forgive us. Hoping that he will be merciful enough, but never knowing. We are not like that. We know. Because one died for our sins, Yeshua Mashiachenu, that we now know he died for all. If he died for all, then we who still live, us, every single one of us here in the sanctuary, watching online, wherever we are, we for whom he died should no longer live according to ourselves. It's not for us that we now live. The power of this statement, if you are forgiven here today, and you are because one died for you, do not live for yourself. Because you have already died. You died from judgment to life. You passed from these things. You are no longer that person that you were before. That is gone. As he goes on, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, you are a renewed creation. Hallelujah. It's gone. The past is gone. It's finished. It's over. Stop schlepping the burdens from that previous life into this new life that you have in Messiah. It's gone, it's finished, it's over. You do not need that anymore. You are a renewed creation. Old things have passed away. People, if only people would get hold of this in their spirits and in their heads, in their hearts, believe this. It's a reality. Behold, all things have become renewed in Messiah. That is the truth. And you can hear the words, and it still doesn't filter from the ears to the heart, but it needs to. If this Yom Kippur means anything to you, with God's forgiveness for your sins, in and through this day, what he's doing for us, for all of Israel, get hold of this. In Mashiach, you are a new creation. No longer bound to sin. It's not your character anymore. It used to be. You used to be someone who sinned by habit and occasionally did something good. That's not you anymore. Now, right now, as a new creation, you're fundamentally changed. When you sin now, that is in the minority of things that happen in your life. The majority of what you do now is to walk in the goodness and awesomeness of our God, in his holiness, righteousness, living out through the fruit of the Spirit, every single mitzvot in faith and trusting. That is what is now instinctively yours, because you are a renewed creation. All things have become new. The internal logic, if one dies, we all die in him. Our sins killed Yeshua. And we concluded something from that this afternoon in our study. And one of the questions which was prepared on our question sheet was, who are we mourning? What death are we mourning? Today on Yom Kippur, what are we mourning? Fasting is related to mourning. Whose death are we mourning? And the blitz of revelation that came, we are mourning the death of Yeshua. We mourn the death of Yeshua today because I caused his death. Every single one, I caused his death. We caused it. We put him there on that stake. There was nothing Yeshua did ever in his life that caused him to hang that day on that stake. Nothing in his life. He didn't hang there because of what he had said, thought or done, but because of what we said, thought and did. Our sins put him there. And the reality in all of this, if one has died for all, then all have died and we live now for him. The reality of this, Yeshua has died for us. He is our substitute. And therefore, on a day like this, with confidence, we can stand before God and know our sins are removed. We are cleansed, forgiven. We know it because of an act in history 2,000 years ago. It's not just wishful thinking. It's real. It happened. It's history. At that moment, when Yeshua cried out, "It is done, it is finished," he meant it, "It is finished." Every single human sin committed and yet to be committed in him at that moment, "It is finished," he said. "I paid the price and died." We are not swinging chickens round our heads today. We're not these people that have doubts about whether we're forgiven, whether we can ever know. We're not replacing sacrifices with almsgiving. We're not into those kind of halakhic games. The Torah is clear. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Period. With no temple right now, there is no remission of sin. Except through one name, Yeshua Mashiachenu. There is no other name given under heaven right now through which forgiveness of sin can come. Because without applying his blood to our lives in that way, without applying that blood, there is no way that we can stand before God as forgiven. The animals never cut it. It has to be like for like. And it has to be a human being who never sinned. It's the only way that we can stand righteous before God. Like for like, blood for blood. And only in Messiah Yeshua do we find that equivalence. There is no other equivalence except just a hope that God will be nice to me this year. That is it in a nutshell. That is not the basis on which God operates. Our God operates on covenant. He operates on the legal basis of the forgiveness of sins. That's what he himself has created. And to change that is to change the Torah in your own favour. I tell you, it cannot be done. There has to be a death. Yours or Yeshua's. But that's the stark choice in reality. And Shaul says, he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And then we discover, in the good news of all of this, that we aren't just free to do whatever we want. There's a calling and a task. Isn't it fantastic at the end of this redemptive message that we hear again at the end of Yom Kippur, the forgiveness of sin, the renewing of all things, new creations. Yippee, we can dance for joy, we are released, we can have that party finally, because we truly are free. And then again, we are reminded, Shaul says, yes you are, but do not forget, you've got a job to do. When we leave here again today, we've still got a job to do. All things of God reconciling us as Jews to Him through Yeshua, and has given us as Jews the ministry of reconciliation. We have a job to do, to go out and take reconciliation between God and man to every other human being out there. We have a calling and a job to do. That is, as it says in verse 19, God was in Messiah reconciling the whole world to Himself, not just us as Jews, everyone. It's our Jewish call. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. We've got to take it out there. We have to take the good news out there and tell everyone that it is now possible that they too could be reconciled to the one true God. Jewish universalism, there it is again. Every which way, every page of the scriptures we read, it is there. We have a job to do. Therefore, as Shaul says, we are ambassadors for Messiah. An ambassador goes out into a strange country because he's representing another country. The kingdom of God. That is what we represent when we go out there. We have been tasked to do this. And on a final high note, as a result of our forgiveness, understanding the job we've got to do, Shaul signs off this thought in this way. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He put our sin onto Yeshua in this way, the one who knew no sin, that we, who've had that sin taken away from us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Yeshua. If God has taken that sin from us, and He has today, it's because He's also going to replace it with something else. He doesn't leave us in a vacuum. What He replaces it with is His righteousness, which is now ours. And that is why we can stand righteous before God. Not because we've done something to remove the sin, not because we are able, not because we merit it, not because of anything else. It's because of what Yeshua has achieved. And therefore the righteousness of God has become us. This, ultimately, is the message that we take out of Yom Kippur. This is the truth. We too have become fully acceptable before God because of the death of the one who died for us. So do we leave here today depressed, downbeat, because we think we're only doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past? Doomed to repeat our sins in an eternal loop that we can never break out of? No, that is not the message we take away. The message we take away from here is that we rejoice in the mercy and love of God who made a way. We are free, free to serve Him, free to take the message of reconciliation out. We have a message of good news. We do not leave here despondent. We leave with our heads high, rejoicing before our God. Because He made a way. He made a way for us. So at the end of this Yom Kippur, we reminded ourselves again of the seriousness of our sin, the desperate plight of our lives that were once lost in sin yet now redeemed. We have good news. We have good news indeed, because all Israel will be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.